The ice hangs tough on Lac Saint-Jean. The cars pass fast on the 169. The December wind's no treat. It's heartless. You wouldn't put a dog outside. But they're there, the stray dogs that, trolling the roadsides, frenzied, have snapped their chains, fled distant farms. They bolt through the fields this way and that, prey to madness. And at 7:30 in the morning, with the sun up, but just barely, chipping away at winter's gray chill, the strikers are caught between the local road and the entrance gate. They have a view of the lake, a timid fire burning in an old dryer tub, and not much else. The fire crackles and squirms a little. It does what it can to warm the world. "Hot, it ain't," says Judith, arriving with her tray of Tim Horton's coffees. She stopped off at Roberval. "One milk and one sugar each. It's too cold to fuss over little cups or paper packets. At 32 below outside, with the wind, you don't take off your mitts. And if they have holes in them, you damn well know it." 6 coffees for 12. She didn't have enough hands. She'll go back later. She'll get one black for Bernard. He likes his black. Bernard is dreaming of the drink warm in his hand. The morning gets to you after a while. Every little puff into the hollow of your fist tries to ward it off, but the cold is back before you can even take another breath. Bernard's hand is trembling. It can barely grip the pole with, at its tip, the white sign twisting in every gust of wind, concealing, then revealing, "Long live the mill!" His fingers are red, almost white. His joints are chapped, all of them ready to crack open. His blood is sluggish thanks to the cold. He's left his mitts on the hall table at home. When he can't bear it anymore, Bernard switches hands, puts the cold one into the deep, barely insulated pocket of his skidoo suit, and the other one takes over. It touches the wood, almost sticks there, the handle's so icy, like on the lamp pole where you planted your tongue when you were a kid, despite all the warnings. The other's tongues are quietly lapping the "watch it hot" coffee, scalding beyond belief, burning like the air bites when you hold your face to the wind. You see them from your car along the local road, all the human resources lined up on the same side of the fire or turning their backs to it so as not to have the wind in their faces, their heads hunched under their hoods, their pride tenuously held in place. Sometimes there's a little blast from a horn to encourage them. Then the union's flag, the Dollarama placards, are waved in the air. Just back a bit, a few meters from the fire, there's always a car with its motor running. 2 guys lean against it, smoking. Another is inside. When it's your turn, you can go and sit there for 15 minutes, the heat turned up high. You have to guard against frostbite, like the union lady said. They're the ones who wanted it, who wanted to be there. No one forced them out. The factory is open and nice and warm. That's what the boss says to himself when he passes the picket line in his brand new pickup with its heated seats, its hi-fi, just like in his office, in his house, in his other car. The truck pulls up to 31,200 pounds. He'd helped a guy, once, haul his boat out of the lake. He could have had it financed, but he'd paid cash. He stops right beside the Civic. He opens the door. His Coldplay drowns out the trucks on the local road. His woman is with him, Anne France. She's a former employee who's now vice president of the company, a climber who always wanted to get ahead and treat herself to designer clothes. Her family on the Martel side owns the Dolbo Mistassini funeral parlor. She grew up with a silver spoon in her mouth. Everyone knows she married the boss just to get leverage over the factory, to be better than others, and to flounce around all week long in the offices and on weekends in their opulent house by the lake. She's carrying a tray of Tim Horton's coffees and wearing a sable fur headband that matches her mitts. 6 extra-large coffees for the dozen picketers, a little paper bag with milk and sugar, saying, "Have a nice day, it's cold out here,"